あ、ここいるんだ。
本当？見えないでしょ？どこにいるのかな？見えない。
あ、こんなとこに。
Hello and how you doing, Internet? It is February 17th, 2017, and you are listening to Waypoint Radio. I'm not Austin. I can't say what's good, Internet. That would be wrong and bad. You know, I'm not a pretender to the throne. Instead, I am Danielle Riendo, and I am joined today by two of Waypoint's finest. We have social editor Danica Harrod. Do you want to say hello?
Hello. Austin's there, by the way.
That's where you say something, Danica.
Austin's there. He's cool. The plant.
He's the plant. We've made it's canon that Austin has become a plant as he is on vacation. Of course, joining me, as always, is Patrick Klepek.
I'm here. See, I knew my cue. I'm ready to roll. I'm a professional.
You knew you had to say something.
I know what I'm asked to do when I do it. I may not do it well.
I don't do this enough.
It may be like a C-, but I'm there.
You know, as long as you got a C in there, right?
Hey, that's how I treated college. It was like, hey,
that's
passed.
Right.
When people ask, did you graduate college? Did you get a bachelor's degree? They don't ask, like, what were your grades when you got it? They just ask if you fucking got it. And I did.
What's your GPA? Exactly.
Doesn't say my that's GPA on that piece of paper. I don't even know where that paper is.
Yeah, mine's at my parents' house somewhere. I don't know. Behind my picture of myself graduating from college with a Nintendo DS, you can clearly see in my hand.
Good.
I'm shaking hands with the president because I was so bored at the damn ceremony. I was playing Meteos.
I'm pretty sure
the whole time.
I was hungover at my graduation, so that was good.
Yeah.
This is a good and normal thing to be. Just stop there. We're fine.
Speaking of a good and normal thing to be, Patrick, I wanted to talk to you. I wanted to have a nice chat with you today.
Uh-oh.
About a piece you wrote on the site.
I was going to say, this sounds like the setup for a performance review. I already had one of those.
We all had one last
week. Austin already grilled me, all right? I don't need another one of these.
Well, you know, this one is it's on live radio. Not really live radio. See, we're not live because life is difficult. But you did write about a very good and natural thing.
A very wholesome thing.
Yeah.
A very wholesome thing. Mm-hmm. You wrote a piece about a jerk-off mod for Stardew Valley. Could you tell me what...
When you say it out loud like that, it makes it far more uncomfortable than when you just copy and paste it from an email. It doesn't sound... So,
it's a normal thing.
I don't necessarily want to make my like mod interview series like about a bunch of erotica necessarily, but I... I'm trying, you know, part of my goal is to find people doing like very specific things that reflect something that they find very interesting as opposed to like HD textures or, you know, sort of things that are useful for people who are, you know, modifying games and stuff that may make a game better. Like what I'm looking into now is, you know, about I've been looking through the Witcher 3 mods and like there was one that I didn't actually end up pursuing, but one that I thought interesting was like someone added highly detailed chest hair to Geralt's body, which I was like, that's like a very specific thing to do that is like not on the general spectrum of how you normally would add something or what you would think of adding to a mod. And so I'm always thinking when I look at a mod, like, is there a story behind this? Like, is there like something interesting? And so when I saw this mod called Horny Bachelors, the name made me laugh. And then when I read what it did, which was adding like a specific jerk-off schedule, he was very specific in his language as he told me.
Too formal.
He said, right. Direct quote.
I was like, that's so kind of funny and interesting that I have to imagine that person has like funny and interesting and insightful reasons for why they wanted to add something that specific. Yeah. And it totally ended up being true. You know, like, you know, one of the things that they told me was, you know, the fact that, you know, if you looked at the modding that was happening in Stardew Valley, and this is something you could apply holistically to basically all mods, maybe not all mods, but generally speaking, if you're looking at mods that have to do with sex, it usually is catered to and probably developed by straight dudes making stuff where you can do stuff with women. Now, that's not a universal truth. There are probably exceptions to that rule, but that is a pretty broad a generalization that you can make that is pretty correct. And so this is a guy who's like, I'm a dude. I like banging dudes. I bet dudes like to jerk off. I want dudes jerking off in this game. So I'm going to add this to the game. Like, it was something very specific that reflected his interests, his personality. And so he put that into the game. And I thought that was both hilarious and really interesting and says something wider about sort of mods and mods communities.
I think it's wholesome in its own way.
It is. It's very wholesome. You know, it's the whole picture. It's our whole lives. Isn't that like a Unitarian thing? OWL, our whole lives. And it's like, we talk about sex in our religion because it's normal. I could be wrong.
I have
that's
no idea.
Thing, though. I did want to mention, Patrick, you had shared a beautiful screenshot of Geralt from one of the mods that shows Geralt being hot, basically. And Diana from Broadly actually walked over and looked at my screen and asked me if I was looking at, and I quote, anime porn.
I mean, let's be clear. Let's put some context into it. Like,
yeah.
I think any screenshot of Geralt from The Witcher 3 you could look at and go, yeah, dude's looking pretty good. You know, I could admit that. Like, I can look at him objectively and just be like, yeah, I get it.
He's pretty hot. He's a hot dude.
He's a hot dude.
Yeah.
But this specific screenshot, which is from, I don't want to steal my story.
Yeah.
The modder hasn't gotten back
yourself.
To me. But it's a mod that involves making Geralt sexier. Let's say more defined is one of the words that they use. And so the screenshots attached to the mod are Geralt in like extremely, not suggestive. Like he's posing. And so there's this one where he's... He's wearing some...
There's definitely a very nice little bikini thing going on there.
Yeah, and he is sort of splayed out on the ground, like posing, like as though someone... kind of like, you know, that scene from Jurassic Park where Jeff Goldblum is kind of like, you know, like laying out and looking good. it's kind of like that, but like if it was Geralt from The Witcher 3 and he had like way less clothing on.
Yeah.
So it's hot stuff, you know. It does kind of look like pornography. It's like you know, it's like light erotica. this is what we paste in our staff chats. But yeah, that is what. If you saw that, I can understand someone being like, Danielle, shouldn't you be in the bathroom when you're doing something like this?
Exactly.
Why are you?
Keep this private.
Please. Vice is an open office, but even we have our limits.
Exactly.
Before we move off of the jerk off mod, I just want to make a quick comment.
Please.
I wrote a little rap in the style of Migos, Bad and Bougie. Patrick blocked the Waypoint account. Everyone called me out. Austin said I was off meter. Mm-hmm. Nick Robinson said I was off meter. Christine Love said I was off meter. Everyone said I didn't have any rhythm. Mm-hmm. So the whole time I was like, okay, no, I know I'm right. I went home. I recorded it. I posted it on the Waypoint Twitter. Everyone said I was right the whole time. Just gonna throw that out there because I got roasted for a good like 5 hours.
Oh, well, that's the joys and the pitfalls of being a social editor, right? You get roasted.
Yeah.
I do a lot of roasting myself,
so it's fine.
And no, I'm fully confident you will fuck up and get roasted again sometime soon.
Yeah.
So
all right,
you
know, all right,
roasted
we're
right
good.
Now.
Happy
my team believes in me.
It's really good. Well, I also believe very strongly in your golfing skills, Danica, because you wrote on the site as well. I'm so happy you've been actually writing more on the site because you have more time with
Shouty wanna fuck.
Shouty likes it rough.
There was a beautiful...
She got a big, juicy butt. A big, round, wet...
I wish I had the lyrics in front of me.
Yeah, I wrote about Golf With Your Friends, which is like a terrible early access Steam game. That's like, it's genuinely like bad, but as long as you're playing with some friends, it's totally fine. And I named myself Got a Big Round Wet McMuffin after the hit song Shouty Wanna
Perfect.
Fuck.
Oh, yeah, definitely a hit song. The hit song on my iPhone, anyway.
Yep. And the one thing I didn't mention in the story is that I made a chat, I made a lobby called Christians Only, and I made it open, and it got
good.
Filled with people. And we had a lot of people in there saying, like, really awful, gross shit. And every time someone would say something, I would just say, like, don't worry, like, the power of Christ compels you to, like, make this shot. And I did a pretty good job as, like, got a big round wet McMuffin saying, trust in our Lord.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, it's...
Trust in the round McMuffin is really...
Trust in that ass.
Yes. If that's your God, you know, I'm not gonna
I'm
judge.
Pretty...
That's
you know
beautiful.
What? In that song, Shoty, I believe that is his Lord and Savior.
I think it is. You know, that's his end goal in life, so...
Wait, so what kind of golf game is this? Like, what is, explain, like, give me, like...
It's just a little, like, five-course mini golf game, and you're playing, like, from the perspective of, like, right behind the ball on the ground, and you just, like, aim the ball and try to make it into the hole. But this game, you can turn on different things like ball collisions. You can, like, collide with your friends. You can change the shape of your ball to be, like, a fucking acorn. You can change the gravity, so...
Good.
And, like, the floor bounce, so, like, every time you swing, the ball will just, like, bounce out of control. And the graphics, they're, like, cool because they're really bright, and they look like, I don't know, like, Candyland actually looks like...
It looks like a Dreamcast game. It's the first thing. When I saw screenshots of this and seeing it in action, either, like, a Dreamcast game or a... And this is sort of a weird reference, but one of the modes in Boom Blocks 2 was sort of like this. It was kind of like... you had a puck, and you had sort of like a rubber band, and you had to throw a puck to a goal, basically. Like, it's a very puzzly, kind of funky, physics-y kind of
deal. And it's just fucked up. It's just, like, it's fun. It's fun if you're playing with a bunch of people. It's a very, like, early access game.
Sure. I know you played another early game this week as well, which is a hard turn from golf with your friends. There were no shoddy McMuffins. I don't know. Big, round, fat McMuffins.
I don't know. Let's not prejudge.
Big,
round, wet McMuffins. Sorry. I don't know why I think it's a fat McMuffin.
It's the wet part that...
Yeah, because he sings about pouring...
Sells it.
He sings about pouring coconut body oil... Like and mm-hmm. making her big butt mm-hmm. wet, and she gets the goosebumps so he can bust a nut. That's
the whole good, song. Good.
Shawty wanna fuck.
So, does any of this happen in Bugs and Kisses?
I don't
know.
Not yet. No. So not in the demo. But yeah, okay. I played Bugs and Kisses, which is like a bug dating sim. I fucked up on that headline because. When I thought about that headline of, like, you'll want to kiss your nearest eight-legged friend, I was thinking of how everyone is scared of spiders. Like, I know spiders aren't technically insects. Sure. But, you know, I have a few people calling me out on Twitter, but it's all right. It's all right.
Getting roasted again.
Yeah, but it's just a cute little bug game. You play as a beetle. You choose, like, your outfit as compared to, like, most games where you choose your gender, which is pretty cool because you can, like, be... anywhere on the gender spectrum you want to be and just, like, choose your outfit that you want to wear that day.
That's cool.
And it's, like, the demo is a free 30-minute standalone story, so it's actually may not have anything to do with the final game. But it's cute. You, like, go to your school and you see all your friends and, like, you can kind of flirt with your friends based on, like, choices you make in conversation. And then at the end of the game, you, like, walk one of them home. And I walked home the...
With, like, different bugs?
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, these different bugs are getting into bed with each other?
No, I mean, not yet. They're just, like, hanging out at school. There's, like...
So what kind of bug were you getting into?
I liked anime porn.
Oh, wait, so these are, like, young kids. These bugs are too young to, you know, get romantically interested.
Yeah, they're too young to, like, shouty want to fuck, so... But I walked home the, like, spooky praying mantis. Her name was Hazel, and she was she read me, like, bug tarot cards. And she was kind of, like, creepy, like a witch. I'm, like, into that. There was also, like, a really cute moth, a fly, and a dragonfly. So you got your options.
That's pretty nice. If you like bugs, yeah. I really appreciated that you were telling me that you actually learn about actual insects by playing this game, because it was
and not enough to know how many legs they have, but, you know, other things, I guess.
You know.
Me. I learned a lot about bugs. Also me. Completely fucks up. One of the people who worked on the game is an entomologist, so there's actual facts about insects in there, like about larvae and... spinning silk and the difference between moths and butterflies, and it's very cool. I learned a lot, but I fucked up on the legs. Rad. All right,
I'll carry that with me
forever.
It's okay. You know, there's different numbers of legs. You know, numbers might not be your thing. I think it's really cool whenever, you know, game making tools are so accessible. Especially, I don't know if this was made in, like, Rimpy or something like that, but I like that tools are so accessible now that folks who come from completely different walks of life and actually have, like, an expertise in something, like an entomologist, can actually work on a game like this, and you can actually kind of have this totally weird but also informational experience.
Yeah, one of the things that was cool is that they said on the itch page that they had never made, they had never like coded before. So the game was made on some like visual novel maker with no coding experience, and like the whole team is like queer. So nice. It's awesome. Yeah, it's my cup of tea. I'm always trying to date a bug.
Nice. Always trying to date a bug. Oh, that's, you know, I don't know if I have a segue from there.
I think my girlfriend would be the moth, though, if I would pick one that my girlfriend is. She would probably be the moth. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, you always have your favorites. You know, I need to play it before I can tell you what my bug
preference
is. Yeah,
let me know. Patrick, you too, let me know.
I'm glad that there's many bugs.
You take home.
Okay. Not a spider.
No, you can't. Not an option, but I probably would take a spider home.
I don't want to fuck spiders. I want to make it clear. I'm saying spiders are bad.
Shorty want to fuck.
What about that one spider girl from Monster Musume? The like the huge like goth spider girl. I'll send you a picture later.
Yeah, I don't like. I like that you started that sentence being like, "Oh, Patrick's gonna know what that means," and like he'll be able to answer that question with the full knowledge of. Come on.
Yeah.
Shorty don't know anime. That guy probably does know anime. That guy is probably a huge Naruto fan.
Yeah. He wants to fuck Naruto. I think that's.
Wow. Okay.
I'm just gonna say it's Naruto. I'm sorry, both of you. I'm sorry to call you out on the podcast. Naruto.
Click.
So like, yeah.
Quit
Naruto.
Skype.
All right. I'm glad I know that now. So we've had some news this week, I suppose.
Danica Harrod.
Patrick Klepek.
Harrod.
Klepecki.
There's no Y at the end. Come on. Anyway.
I know there isn't. You know, we're just messing around now. So somebody got a Switch this week.
It wasn't me.
That was a thing that happened. Patrick, do you want to tell us about this?
This random dude on the message board NeoGAF starts posting photos saying, "Look, I've got a Switch," which most people presume to be that he was a member of the media that was just using that as a way to get attention, because there are Nintendo Switch units that are both going being toured around media outlets at the moment, a finalized hardware is being sent to some media outlet. So like it wasn't outside the realm that, you know, someone would be hiding their identity and just using that as a way to get attention on a place like NeoGAF or Reddit. Like that stuff happens all the time. But in this case, this was a dude that just some retailer, we don't know where, what region, sent this kid a Nintendo Switch with no games. So he just has a Nintendo Switch that can't do anything except he can browse the user interface. But because we are 2 weeks out from the release of the Switch and Nintendo has not even said what the UI looks like, if there's a virtual console, these are like answers you thought we would have known weeks or months ago are not answered. He's on NeoGAF answering people's questions about like how do the Wi-Fi settings work, because these are things that we don't know, and he has to try and... He can't upload it to like certain video services because then they'll be able to identify who he is, and he's very afraid of getting the retailer in trouble because he likes them. So I'm assuming maybe it's like a local
protecting
thing
source.
as opposed to a Target. But yeah, it's only fascinating in so much as these are things that we probably should know already, but because it's Nintendo, none of this stuff is out there. And that machine comes out in 2 weeks, which is wild to think about, but that is a thing.
Yeah, the entire reason I'm not going to GDC – well, no, that's not the entire reason, but one of the main reasons I'm not going to GDC this year is because Switch Mania is going to be a thing that I think I need to cover probably more than GDC. Mm-hmm.
I'll be there. I'll be on the ground.
You'll be there. You're on the scene.
On the scene.
I think you'll be there.
On the ground.
I think Austin's
going to
be there.
It's just me.
So. No, he's not?
It's me. It's me and
you?
Kate.
Okay.
And
Austin and I are probably
going to. So we got some of our Lancers
going
good.
Out. We got some boots on the ground, which makes me very happy. Speaking of boots on the ground, why don't you give me a number, Patrick? Give me a number that makes you think of the word boot or ground. And we'll get one question.
I don't associate.
Before we get into the question bucket, we should just chat about the PewDiePie shit really fast, since that's a big thing. Yeah, we don't have much time.
All right, I'll give you the short version of what happened with PewDiePie is that the Wall Street Journal went through a number of his videos, pulling out clips in which could be construed as anti-Semitic, featuring Nazi imagery, presented those as a compilation to both at the time it was only Maker Studios, which is his partner network on YouTube, that is owned by Disney. And upon seeing those, Disney dropped PewDiePie as a client or a partner. And as a further result, YouTube canceled the nearly complete second season of his YouTube Red Show, in which he, instead of getting scared by video games, goes out and gets scared by, you know, these real life sort of haunted houses that are built around sometimes games and sometimes just other sort of generic horror tropes. And then he issued both an apology and a video that was both an apology and sort of a seething media criticism, in which he argues that his comments were taken out of context. The joke that is really at the heart of a lot of this is him using a service called Fiverr in order to get two men from, I'm not sure where, what country they're from. To hold up a sign that says "Death to all Jews," and the Nazi-like imagery, like, to his credit, is from, like, there's an irony to it. It's from a video in which he is lampooning how videos get taken out of context, and so he was trying to show the absurdity of what sometimes people think he's doing. So there's been a lot of fallout, a lot of discussion. He apologized for the "Death to all Jews" joke, saying it goes too far. He considers himself an amateur comedian, but it's, you know, raised some larger questions about sort of YouTube culture, shock humor, and things like that. And I suppose that's a quick summation of what's been going on.
I was seeing on Twitter this morning just, like, a ton of people from the overarching, like, YouTube community, like big YouTubers, all kind of tweeting in support of him. So that was kind of interesting to see, just like Markiplier and JonTron and all those guys.
JonTron. Great got him on your side. You're settled. I think people have the right to, you know, obviously make a joke about whatever they want, but what bothered me about PewDiePie's response, or Felix's response, I don't know, I never know how to, if I should talk about him in his actual name or his YouTube name, was that there wasn't a lot of critical analysis of, like, why. Obviously, like, I don't think that PewDiePie isn't anti-Semite or is hateful in his heart. But when you have places like the Daily Stormer and other white supremacist, white nationalist places identifying with what you're saying, you should maybe start critically thinking about what are you saying, the effect it's having. The kind of jokes you're trying to tell, you know, that stuff has consequences, and that goes out into the world. And so even if you yourself are not hateful, if the things you're putting out there are being taken or perceived or used in ways, you have to think about that as someone with such a large following. And so I think, unfortunately, like, some things the Wall Street Journal did give him ammunition to say, well, actually, it's just the media out to get me, when what I – would have liked to have seen a little more critical analysis of, like, the jokes he was making, how he was making them. And just because you can make a joke about something doesn't mean you get to absolve yourself of criticism for making that joke. Criticism of a joke is not censorship. It's saying, dude, it was a shitty joke. If you're going to walk up to that line, you better have something, like, really thought out and actually funny. And I don't think it was either of those things.
I agree wholeheartedly. And I actually think that's a good place for us to end this particular podcast. I think instead of a question bucket, you had a question, Danica, and we looked at it and we answered it, at least to some degree.
Yeah. There's just so much shit going on. Like, I can't keep up. I can't keep up with, like, PewDiePie's videos and tweets and, like, Kotaku putting out an article. And, like, it's just so much. It's an information dump and my brain can't handle it. So, thanks, Patrick.
Yeah, well, and it's a lot of things that are very, very sensitive right now, too, of course. I mean, we're in a pretty precarious political position. I just said way too many P's in a row. I apologize to Tim who had to edit that. But it's knowing. I think a lot of it is self-knowing. A lot of what you said, Patrick, is you know, him maybe not – it would have been a really great opportunity for him to actually examine his words and actually examine, like, oh, this is the world we live in now, this where, you know, maybe you could have said something and people would have actually assumed it was a joke a few years ago. Maybe that's what, you know, maybe you need to be extra aware at this point in time because of what's going on.
You know, like I've just, there's, you know, in my own history, like there was an instance in a series of Giant Bomb videos where, this is a long time ago at this point, there were, you know, 6-7 years ago, where I used a term that I now recognize as derogatory to trans people that at the time was just kind of one of those words that a lot of people said, and it was not something that you got shit for. But that's due to my own ignorance. And so do I respect and want equal rights and treatment for trans people? Yes. Like, did I say a word that was, like, completely inappropriate and of my own ignorance? Yes. Like, I said a transphobic word. I am not a transphobe. Like, I acknowledge that I said something that was inappropriate. I got educated. I tried to make an example of it as something that, like, hey, when some people says you said something is transphobic, it doesn't mean you're a hateful person. It just means you've said something that you should examine, try to better understand, and grow as a person. And that doesn't mean that you are suddenly, like, everything you've done in your life is suddenly tainted by that. It's just, you know, and especially with someone who has such a big audience, I think especially when you have large platforms, it is so important to self-examine because it allows other people to do that along with you.
Yes. We can all learn. We all make mistakes, and
always
we are all
mistakes.
Capable of learning. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm really glad we had a moment to learn from each other today. This is very special. Thank you, Danica, for coming on. I know it's always a treasure and a pleasure, and I don't know anything else that rhymes with those words. Where can people find you on the internet, Danica?
You can find me at Danica Herod.
Awesome. On Twitter, I'm assuming?
Yeah, on Twitter, and on everywhere. That's it. And you can find me at twitter.com/waypoint also. That's me, baby.
Oh, even better. That's you. That's you with those tweets, hot tweets and those sweet rhymes and all those really good things. Awesome. Patrick, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter, at Patrick Klubeck. I also want to point out, I am eternally bothered that we never got a conclusion to the Show Do You Want to Fuck saga. You know, the questions raised, the music video that was promised. And so I did...
You reached out,
Did send him a message on YouTube asking, like, Shody, did you ever fuck? Like, I don't know. Yeah. And I haven't gotten a response yet. I don't know if he checks that YouTube channel anymore. There have been no videos for, like, 7 years. But... if you're out there, if somehow you find yourself listening to Waypoint Radio, or if someone out there knows him or a way to contact him, I need to know the answers. I need to know if he did.
Did he ever get that big round weapon?
Did he? I need to know. I need to know. The world needs to know.
The world does need to know. I mean, I think that would be.
This is me using my platform responsibly.
Exactly. Exactly. Man. You gotta PewDiePie, know.
You can find this out.
To the people.
Come on.
PewDiePie, please. If you're out there, please find Show You Wanna Fuck Guy and then bring him in. Also, you can find me at DanielleRI on Twitter, which is a good place. And you can find all of our beautiful, amazing, wonderful work, jerk off mods and other other stuff included, bugs and hugs and all kinds of really good stuff in the Show You Wanna Fuck fan art and fan fiction, I'm sure, which will be coming soon. You can find that at waypoint.vice.com, digitalpyramids.com, new.donk.city. There's many other ways. We are Waypoint on Twitter.
BastionFucks.com.
Yeah, oh, perfect, perfect. I'm really glad we got that one. That was the real chef kiss right there. So thank you all so much, and thank you, of course, to Bowen, who lets us use his track Miss You off of the EP Pale Machine. You can always go to waypoint.zone/Bowen for more on Bowen. And thank you, Tim Barnes. Tim Barnes 0451 or just 451? Just Tim Barnes 451 on Twitter.
Or Austin underscore Walker.
Oh, shit. If you really want to know
what's
going on with Tim. That's a little bit of an inside joke, but you know, it's cool. You know what? Tim's a great guy and a great producer. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, everyone.
All.
I can't end with peace, so I'm going to end with don't hate.
Oh my God.